Well, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are again worshiping online. As it turns out, today is Palm Sunday. And as a result, we're going to be dealing with the theme of Palm Sunday, but we're continuing in our study of Revelation by looking at the same passage we talked about last week from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. Last week we focused on the identity of the great multitude before Jesus' throne, and this week we're going to focus on the fact that they carry palm branches in their hands as they sing praises to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And as I'll try to show today, this does tie in with Palm Sunday. With that in mind, Revelation 7, 9 and following. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the angels answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, would you bless our understanding of this word? Help us again to see the agreement of all of its parts and the various things today that it says about palm branches and palm trees, that we might better understand the meaning of Palm Sunday. What it meant to those who experienced it, and now what it means to us today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we celebrate Palm Sunday, and with it the beginning of Holy Week. And traditionally on this day, we commemorate Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of prophecy and being greeted by multitudes waving palm branches and laying them before him. But this year we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday a bit differently. As you heard just a moment ago, I've returned this week to our sermon text from Revelation 7 that we looked at last week. And I've chosen to do this for a couple of reasons. The first and most basic is this passage is actually closely related to Palm Sunday. And the second is by looking at Palm Sunday from the perspective of Revelation, it gives us the opportunity to explore more of the details of the text. To explain. In our study of Revelation, I've had to leave out a great many things to keep the overall flow of the letter in mind. And this is especially so with the shorter sermons I'm preaching online to keep from wearing you under these challenging conditions. But since our text speaks of how the mixed multitude of Gentile martyrs are depicted as standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, I thought it would do us well to explore the meaning of palm branches in the Bible and why they are used in places like this and on Palm Sunday. In doing so, my hope again is to demonstrate how Revelation is the capstone of the whole Bible because it draws from imagery found all over the Bible. So, with that in mind, today I'm going to take you on a little tour of some of the things the Bible says about palm branches and palm trees. After I've done that, I'm going to try to show you how the events of Palm Sunday and the words of our text are closely related and reinforce the message of impending doom on Jerusalem and the temple. Okay? Let's begin. The first reference to palms in the Bible is curiously found in the story of Tamar, which we read about in Genesis 38, in what appears to be an interruption of the Joseph narrative. And I say that because the name Tamar is the Hebrew word for palm. Now, if you know the story, Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law whose husband died. Because Judah wouldn't fulfill the levirate law of providing his next son in line, Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute to entice Judah to sleep with her to provide offspring. The result was she gave birth to twins, Perez and Zerah. And interestingly, the line of David descends from Perez, so Davidic kings become descendants of a woman basically named Palm Tree. As a result, we might say it's fitting that multitudes would greet Jesus while holding palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Next, the first direct mention of palm trees in the Old Testament comes from Exodus 15, which we used for our first reading earlier. In that passage, and the parallel passage of Numbers 33, twice we are told that after Israel left Egypt, they came to a place called Elim, where they found an oasis of 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Now, anyone familiar with the numerical symbolism of the Old Testament will immediately recognize the number 12 is routinely associated with the 12 tribes of Israel. And though it's a little less familiar, the number 70 is routinely associated with the Gentile nations of the world during the Old Testament. To explain why I say that, in Genesis 10, we're given a table of nations, listing the nations that descended from Noah's three sons in the centuries following the flood. Altogether, the nations are 70 in number. It is these 70 nations that are united in rebellion against God in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. At the end of that chapter, we're introduced to Abraham for the first time, who becomes the patriarch of the nation of Israel, whose job it is to be a priest, to be a nation of priests on behalf of the 70 Gentile nations. Now, given this background, when Israel comes to Elim, where we're expressly told there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, the message is clear that it will be Israel's task to bring the water of life to the Gentile world. In other words, by this subtle reminder, Israel is being taught of its priestly calling to the nations. To reinforce this calling, three annual feasts were established by God to be celebrated every year. The last of the three, which came after the fall harvest, was called the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. On that occasion, Israel dwelt in booths made of palm branches for 1 week to commemorate their time in the wilderness. During the festival, over the course of the 7 days, a total of 70 bulls were offered up on behalf of the 70 Gentile nations of the world. Now, as the prophets Haggai and Zechariah explained, the purpose of the feast was to keep alive the hope that someday all nations would come to know the true God. In this way, Israel was continuously reminded of its priestly status in the world to intercede on behalf of the 70 nations. Now, if we keep all this in mind and recall, we said last week about how in Revelation 7, John makes numerous allusions to the Exodus when God formed Israel into a nation. Certainly, the connection between the scene in Revelation 7 and the events of Palm Sunday become apparent. To explain, on Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey to the shouts of the multitudes waving palm branches and laying them before him, while they cry out, "Hosanna," and bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Similarly, in Revelation 7, the mixed multitude hold palm branches while they shout praises to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. As such, there is a sense in which the events of Revelation 7 repeat the events of Palm Sunday, though with a twist. On Palm Sunday, the gospel writers all tell us that after entering Jerusalem to the shouts of the multitudes waving palm branches, Jesus proceeds to the temple where he symbolically pronounces its doom for having become a den of thieves, when he always intended it to be a house of prayer for all nations. In the same way then, when the martyred saints of Revelation hold palm branches in their hands while praising Jesus, they too are signaling doom for the temple, because this time when Jesus comes in judgment against it, it won't merely be in symbolic form by the prophetic act of cleansing it. On the contrary, this time when Jesus comes to judge the temple, it will be in final reality, because unlike the multitude that greeted Jesus with palm branches but, you know, possessed only leaves and no fruit, the multitude of Revelation 7 will bear fruit and inherit the kingdom. Now, here's where it all ties together with the events of Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus proceeds to the temple to cleanse it, we must understand he's not simply expressing his anger with the actions of the Jewish leaders and trying to get them to clean up their act. As N.T. Wright has persuasively argued, what he's doing is stopping the temple worship for a time, with the effect he's giving a dramatic warning of what's coming within this generation. As Peter Lighthart says, he's showing the Jews that their temple worship will be stopped forever unless they repent. By the time we come to Revelation, it's clear the Jews have made up their mind just as Jesus knew they would. I say that because in John 2, which records the first time Jesus cleansed the temple, he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, sometimes that's taken as a conditional clause, as if to say, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. But as several commentators note, in the Greek, the word is an imperative. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know, go ahead, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on destroying this temple. Of course, John tells us Jesus, he isn't talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He says Jesus is talking about the temple of his body. Since the body of Christ refers not only to Jesus' physical body, but also the church, it seems this is part of what John means. By killing Jesus and then persecuting his disciples, the Jews seal their own faith. But by destroying the temple that is his body, the Jews ensure the destruction of the temple where they worship. See, that is the message of Palm Sunday as well as Revelation 7. Now, the good news is we know that's not the end of the story. As Jesus makes clear, he won't be defeated by the Jews, and he most certainly won't be defeated by death. The Jews will do their worst, but in 3 days, Jesus will rise again. As he explains, though, in doing so, he will not simply be rising from the dead. He will also be rebuilding the temple. Only this temple will be made up of people. That's the other reason we see the saints of Revelation 7 holding palm branches in their hands. See, 1 Kings 6 teaches us palm trees were carved into the temple all around it. And that way, the temple was like a permanent booth made of palm branches. And in the temple courtyard were 12 water carts, like the 12 wells of water at Elam. The temple was also a house of prayer for the nations, so that the palm trees representing the nations can flourish there. That's why we see the mixed multitude of Revelation, who make up the new temple of God, holding palm branches in their hands. In all these ways, we witness the fulfillment of Jesus' words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Palm Sunday marked the destruction of Jerusalem's temple. But Palm Sunday would give way to Easter Sunday, when Jesus lays the cornerstone of a temple he is still building to this day. Today, though we are not able to gather, we are still part of that temple. And so we join in with the mixed multitude in proclaiming, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And though we can't hear them, be assured the angelic host is prostrate before the throne saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for showing us how your word begins with themes that it builds on throughout and culminate in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus. Thank you today that we understand the meaning of Revelation 7 with the saints, with the palm branches in their hands, and help us to understand that they represent us today as well, as we are all part of the new temple of God, as palm trees who flourish from the wells of water at the temple, the blood and the water that flows from Jesus' side to us. Grant us this, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.